Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. And to the standing between the living and the dead, service family members, my beloved, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 416, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story, a single true non-fiction story, and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Psalm 22. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I praise you and I thank you for your holy word. Grant us your energy, your strength, your unction and your anointing, your freedom and your liberty, and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word, to comprehend it, to understand it, to love it, to cherish it, and to obey it, and to share it with others in a discipleship way, and to preach your holy gospel from it. Grant us your energy, your strength, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Cleanse us, Lord, from all unrighteousness, and Lord, I pray that you would crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us. And I pray that you'd fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to do your will and not ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, at Psalm 22. To the chief musician upon Ajaleth Shaha, a psalm of David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Pardon me. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto thee, Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Pardon me. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time around your holy word and with your holy word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Help us not to make it difficult. Help us to simply do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. And to the standing between the living and the dead, service family members, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 929, where I read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on the power of the Holy Ghost and an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 8, where it says Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell, where the fire is not quenched. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, who said the most wonderful, most loving, most important words ever said in the history of the world to mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Believe, my dear friend, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, beloved, we're reading Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I thank you for your holy word. And Lord, I pray that you would give us your energy, your strength, your unction, and your anointing, your freedom and your liberty, and the power of your Holy Spirit to read it, to understand your holy word, to comprehend it, to obey it, to live by it, and to apply it to our lives, to share it with others in a discipleship way, and to preach your holy gospel to those who are lost. And what a privilege that is. And we pray that millions would hear the gospel through the means that you have wrought and save their souls and change their lives and cast out the devil and the demons of hell out of their lives and give them peace. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Dear friends, that was Zechariah 14:9. Now here is the sense of it. With the help of the Bible Knowledge Commentary, the Messiah will not only reign as King of Israel, but he will also be king over the whole earth. The worldwide scope of his reign is supported by Zechariah's description of him elsewhere as the Lord of all the earth. This is confirmed by the Apostle John's identification of him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He has always been the one Lord in his unique, solitary, incomparable being. When he establishes his millennial kingdom, he will be universally recognized as such and worshiped as the one true God. With idolatry and false worship cut off from the land, his name will be the only name recognized in worship by people. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your word today. We look forward to that day. And Lord, we pray that you'll prepare us for that day. In the meantime, Lord, revive us again who are saved. Save those who are lost to glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, we move to the family segment, or to the family verses, as I call them. And God has spoken to the wife. God has spoken to the husband. And now God is speaking in this passage to the husband and wife. A unique passage where God combines in one verse very succinctly and very powerfully, as only God can do it, as only Jesus can do it, to the husband and the wife. Nevertheless, the nevertheless means that I'm really dealing with Christ in the church to help you to understand your marriage and family life and responsibilities and obligations. But nevertheless, let every one of you in particular here on earth, husbands, love his wife even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. To show you that God is talking about agape love, his love, his enablement to love somebody every day, the person that you have to look at every day and deal with their faults and problems and sins, you can only do that with his agape love. But you have to make the choice to do that, sir. And if you don't make the choice, or you act like you are not capable to make the choice, you're acting like a child, a juvenile. And I don't care if you like it or not. See? And I say this very straightforwardly because some of you jokers think that you're doing something great by leaving your wife behind and your first family to try to start a family with another woman. And when God closes up oftentimes the womb of that woman, or there's some serious other problems because you were not right in doing that in the first place. See, and I'm saying this very strong, because if I have to stay with my wife who has not been a good helpmeet, then you need to stay with yours. That's what I'm saying. You're not doing anything I can't do, but see, it's not right to do it. And if you have any sense, you're going to have serious problems in the flesh and otherwise, and with God, if you do it, see. So you need to choose to do it. Choose to love the one you're with. Stay with the one you're with. Help them and deal with them. Rebuke them if you have to, but stay with the one you're with. That you married and you promised God. You didn't promise her anything. You vowed to God that you were going to stay married. And it is understood whether you vowed it or not, or you wrote your own devilish vows that don't mean anything. It's understood in heaven that once you marry a woman, that you're married for life. It's understood by God that way. Okay? And wife, if you love God, if you love your husband, you will reverence him. It's a choice. It has nothing to do with your feelings. It has nothing to do with what you think, honey child. You just do it. See, grown people just do things. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, God expects you, husband, to work and provide for your family, and you're doing that because you like to eat too. You like to have transportation too. You like to have the lights on too, right? Well, do this, okay? What good is doing all of that if you don't do what God tells you to do? And love your wife. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. And love is not what the sweet evangelicals and the sweet Baptists and the sweet Bible folk churches and so forth have made it to be. This ushy, saccharine, syrupy foolishness. Foolishness. You understand me? Love is making your wife get up early when you both have something to do, and sometimes it's for her own good. Love is making your teenagers get up early and go to work. Love is making your wife get up to fix food for the family before the children get up. And if it takes a little supervision from you, you do what you need to do to get it done. See, that's what husbands do. You understand? Husbands make things happen. Husbands get things done, and husband will push a wife to do what she needs to do to help him and to help the family. You know why? Because the wife will be happy about it too. And the mother and the children and you. Once it's done, don't let them fool you. You need to be a husband. You need to be the man. If you have to be the work by 8, and you want to eat breakfast and drink coffee and pray with the family, and everybody got to get up by at least 6. And mama needs to get up by at least 5 while you watch the news from 5 to 6. You understand, man? You can't leave everybody in the bed. You got to get them up. That's love too, brother. Love is not just going to Six Flags. Love is not just buying your wife a special gift on Valentine's and on your anniversary and taking her out on a date, so-called date, every week. That's crazy, by the way. That's some evangelical foolishness, people. And you bought it hook, line, and sinker. That's not in the Bible. Nowhere. We're not going on dates anymore and trying to get to know one another. We know each other. We're married. We don't need to be wasting money on no date when you know the best food you've ever had, you made it at the house. I know I'm right about it. And you rebellious wife, humble yourself and respect your husband. Reverence your husband. Stop thinking he's dumb and stupid, like so many women think today. I assure you, your husband has more intelligence in his pinky than you probably have in your brain. Okay? Because God is speaking to him, contrary to what the sweet evangelicals have lied about down through this. Hey, husbands, listen. Listen to your wife now. God will speak to her and to tell you something. That's a lie to hell. And you tell every preacher who said it and every pastor's wife who said it, I said they are liars out of hell. But why would God put the man as the head of the household and he has to use the wife to speak to him like he's some dummy? That is so stupid. And you tell everybody I said that. Stop this lying. That's the devil telling you that. Because the wife is everybody's trying to form the wife, and the wife is a Jezebel, and everybody's trying to encourage her to be a Jezebel, who controls Ahab, who controls the church and the kingdom and the nation. The devil is a lie. Come on, people. Abraham knew he was wrong. Pilate knew he was wrong. Stop trying to use them. God spoke to Abraham directly. God spoke to Pilate directly. That's why Pilate said, I wash my hands of this innocent blood. He didn't need his wife to tell him. That's just backing up what he already knew. Stop taking the scriptures out of context. There's nowhere in the Bible that teaches the wife is going to hear from God to tell the husband something. He can do that. But God put men as the head of households and of churches, and men need to hear from God. And if you're not hearing from God, get out of the ministry. Get out of the ministry. Especially, please. I don't see how you can get out of your family. But I feel sorry for you, son, because I have 99 problems, but that ain't one. I hear directly from God. I tell my wife what she's going to do. She does not tell me what I'm going to do. May I say hell to the law? No, sir, no, ma'am. I told my mother the other day, Mom, I love you, and I'm praying for you. You'll always be over me as my mother. But in the ministry, I'm over you. Make no mistake about it. I'm 20 years younger than you, but I'm over you in the ministry now. Because I am a man, and you are a woman. God made me the man. I didn't make myself a man. I walk in that authority. So if I tell my mom, my 81-year-old mother, that, and have peace about it from God, you know my wife is not going to tell me anything. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir, no, ma'am. That's not happening. And my daughters don't tell me anything either. They don't rule over me. I love them. But I am not ruled by them or controlled by them like so many of you fathers. Your daughter has you wrapped around her finger. If she doesn't like something, then you try not to like it. How can that be when you're 20, 30 years older than she is? She's not going to understand what you're talking about. And you don't understand what she's talking about. So you got to follow God. And tell your daughter the truth, and your sons too. Okay, let me move on. Today is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and I normally preach a special message of his on this day. So I have to preach a little bit later. I have to go. So let me move on. I could talk with you all day and ruin your day by telling you the truth. Anyway, let's pray for other people. Holy Father God, I thank you for this time together. Lord, help people to get literally their house in order. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would heal all Christian families based upon your revealed biblical truth. And Lord, I do pray also for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving across this country and around the globe and in our churches and in our communities and in our families and in our lives. I pray, Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon us who claim to be Christians. Lord, forgive us of our sins of not obeying your great commandment or your great commission. And Holy Father God, I pray for the people who claim to be Christians, who name the name of Christ, who say that they're saved, that you will help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our sins and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, I pray that, Lord, you will Lord, help those in government, in the ministry of government. Holy Father God, save their lost souls. Revive those who are saved. Lead, guide, and direct all of them to obey your holy word in leading their respective areas of government, from the top to the bottom, around the world, so that we can live in peace and live in quietness. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for all of the persecuted Christians who are being harmed by other people because of their faith. Bless them, save them, bless them, protect them, and deliver them from the terror that they are under. And Lord, we pray that you would grant them your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to face their trying times and maybe even their dying times by your grace. We pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we pray now, Lord, for the millions of people who are hurting, red, yellow, black, or white, for they're all precious in your sight. Comfort them as only you can. Draw them to yourself for salvation as only you can. And Holy Father God, I pray that, Lord, you will save those who are lost. And we pray for some by name as we pray for millions. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Oregon resident Pavel Kuzminko. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Oregon resident Olga Kuzminko, another family hit by multiple deaths from the coronavirus plague. We pray for the family and friends of Michigan resident Shirley Ratliff. We pray for the family and friends of Belfast Professor Jim Dornan. We pray for the family and friends of Washington restaurant owner Scott Bennett. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the prayer requests and all of the people who have sent in prayer requests, thousands down through the years. Thank you for the privilege and the strength and the power to pray, Lord, for so many people repeatedly about their needs. Thank you, Lord God in heaven, for answering our prayers, answering thousands of prayers down through the years. Thank you for the people, Lord, who have gotten so many prayers answered in the joint prayer ministry you have put in our hearts to do with them, that they come back every time they have a need. What a privilege, what a joy, what a blessing that they you have put in their hearts. They can count on us to pray with them, and that they can count on you ultimately to answer their prayers. We pray, Lord, now for all of those people and their needs. We pray that you bless them with salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material protection and provision, mental and physical blessings. And Lord, in their lives, and Lord, their specific needs that they have right now. And Lord, we pray for a few by name. We have new prayer requests that have come in. We pray for Jensen. Please destroy the works of Satan in his life and give him abundant life. Completely deliver him from all evil spirits and witchcraft. Help him not to feel lonely. Give him healing, health, prosperity, and the Holy Spirit's anointing in his mind, soul, body, and life. Give him complete healing in his mind and thoughts. Bless him with a good job and house. Protect him from the coronavirus plague. We pray for Pastor Bushibi. Please bless them with resources. Meet the needs of the Pastoral Bible School training students. Bless them with money to pay the primary high school and college fees. For the orphans, please bless them to build a better structure for the church building. We pray for Charlene. Please bless her with the money she needs to pay school fees and thrive. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the thousands of folks who have heard the gospel through this ministry and who have gotten saved, who have made a profession of faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your might and your power that did it, and your holy gospel, the good news that did it for them as it did it for me. We pray for Spencer, Thomas, Peter, Charles, Zainabu, and we pray, Lord, for all of the others who have gotten saved. And we pray, Lord, for the people who have recommitted their lives to you as well. We pray for Hansel, Linda, Valerie, Samantha, and Kisa. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And Lord, I pray now that you'll help me to preach your gospel and preach your holy word again under severe satanic attack as we are in the battle for the gospel and for you, for the kingdom. And Lord, thank you for blessing me to be in it. Thank you for wiring me to fight it. Surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, and a wall of your holy fire. Hear all of the prayers that have gone up today. And Lord, I pray that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit in the service that we're getting ready to partake in. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner. And I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to truly repent of my sins past. And to truly repent of my sins present. And to turn from my evil life. And to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen.
Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.